Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good morning, Amazing Grace. We are so blessed to be in the house of God. Let's give God a shout of praise. Come on, is He worthy? Oh, He's worthy, worthy, worthy. Saints, I have prepared this morning a message I believe is going to edify us and build us up. But hopefully this is going to open up our understanding to sometimes what takes place in our life. I hear feedback. Is somebody's phone on? Okay. So, let me just say this. How many of us are in a trial right now?
Well, everybody should be in a trial.
Oh, big trial.
Fire
trial, okay. How many of you experience things in your life that could happen daily? Sometimes it could happen weekly. Sometimes monthly. Sometimes even in a season, however long that season may be. But every one of us, as a child of God, is going to go through what we're going to speak about this morning. And we're going to look into the law of liberty. We're going to look into the law of God. We're going to see how we are identified, how God has chosen us before the foundation of the world, on what He allows us to go through.
Yeah, that's right.
To separate His children from evil.
That's right.
How many want to be on God's side? Okay. And so, in order to get to that place with Him, He's going to allow us to experience some things that sometimes don't feel good. Sometimes the news is not good. Sometimes there's going to be issues in your life that are suddenlies. They're suddenlies. Where did this come from? How did that happen? Why did they say that? We're going to experience so many different things in our life where we have to point to the Word of God, because we're going to see in the Scripture that God allows these things for purpose.
Right.
A lot of these things are not wasted things that take place, even when they don't feel good. Even when it's like, oh man, it's too hard. Oh God, I can't go through this no more. And yet, by His grace and by His mercy, He allows us to experience issues of life so that He can refine us. That He can make us pure like gold. And when it's all said and done, we can lift up our hands and worship the King.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 22. And we're going to read verses 31 through 34. And we're going to get to our screen right now. If you got your cell phone, please put them on the silent and off position. I've entitled this morning's message, When God Chooses to Sift You. When God chooses to sift you. As you can see, that's how they used to sift the chaff and the wheat sheaves. So, let's go to the Word of God and let's get an understanding of what I'm saying here this morning. Are we there, Luke? Here we go. Luke 22, 31 through 34. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. You know what that lets me know? God's going to allow it. But he's going to pray for his faith not to fail through the test. God says, "Nah, Satan, I rebuke you. Stay off my child." No. He says, "I'm going to pray for your faith that it won't fail." In other words, God allows us to go through pressures of life. And there's purpose. Look at this. "I prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you even know me." And we all know the story. He denied the Lord three times. And then he tried to cover him up. He tried to lie. Why? Because he didn't want to be persecuted with the others. He didn't want no alliance that he was with Christ. Even though many saw him with them, he was one of the disciples, one of the apostles. And so our focus this morning, saints of God, will be what we learned during a trip that Yolanda and I took many years ago. And we went to the Nazareth village. In Nazareth, they have this little tiny area where they went back in time. It's like an outdoor museum, and it's free. But when you walk in, it's like you're back 2,000 years, and all the houses are 2,000 years ago. The people that wear their clothes are 2,000 years ago. And they have all the things that they used to grind the grapes and to also sift the wheat. So it's like a history lesson when you go there. It's amazing. And so I took from that trip what God showed me on how this pertains to us today. And so the harvest of the barley, the harvest of the wheat, and the harvest of the grapes is seasons of a prophetic picture of the end time of the harvesting of souls and the soon coming tribulation. So let's look at this right up here. This was a photo we took. And you walked in, and this is where they would take a lot of the grapes into this area here. But let me show you this. This is a threshing floor. Now, this little girl, she's just there for a ride. Okay, she's not actually there. She's just sitting on it. But what are they doing right there? What is that thing that the donkey is pulling and the guy? What would you call that? I'm gonna show you in just a minute. Okay, and then there's the threshing fork fan. This is what they do. This is a type of separation, a type of removing chaff away from the wheat. Now, the thing that she was on is this. It's called the tribulum, where the word tribulation comes from. You see, when the wheat chaff was on the floor and you saw that go over the wheat, there is tribulation, meaning the wheat is crushed. It's being ripped away, and the chaff is being separated. And so what happens is God allows things in our life to go through the same issues. He's got to sometimes crush us to purify us. And we're going to see what this is. Look at this. That's the end result. That's the end result. That's the wheat. Now it can be refined now to go into flour. And so, saints, during the times of ancient Israel, there were seven types of crops that God provided to the land for God's people. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy then so that we can look ahead. And here's the word right up here if you don't have your Bibles. In Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 10. "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, And who is he speaking to? To the children of Israel. A land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines, of figs, pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. All these things were there in this land where they never saw before. Remember, Israel was the land of what? Milk and honey. Look at this in verse 9. A land in which you eat bread without scarcity, in which you lack nothing. A land whose stones are iron out of those whose hills you can dig copper. And when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given to you. So these were promises to his children, his chosen. And during the seven feasts of the Lord, as we've been learning, the Lord, he offered up three things per year. The first fruits. Three times a year, there was a type of first fruit that would go up to the Lord. Let's go to Deuteronomy 16 and let's look at these. I wrote down in my notes here that the seven feasts of the Lord, adult males were required. Just the adult males. They were required to offer up to the Lord their first fruits three times a year. Not the women or children, but the males. Okay, look at this in Deuteronomy. It's right here in the Word. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has what? Given to you. And so in Israel today, they just had their Feast of Tabernacles. Just ended. And we were talking about this the other night. I think it was Wednesday night. We're having a little something to eat with some of the saints that went with Yolanda and myself. And one of the most glorious times to go to Israel is the Feast of Tabernacles. Why? Because it's a celebrative festival. It's where you meet at this park, and every nation that has flown there from around the world, whether you're from Japan and Cuba, whether you're from Brazil, whether you're from Switzerland, Sweden, Europe, London, U.S., Cuba, Puerto Rico, all the nations are there that are believers that come to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And we meet at this park called Sokar Park. And there's at least, I'm going to say, at least 5,000 people in this park. And everyone is with their nation. And they have banners. Like Finland is for Jesus. And then you'll see the Philippines is for Jesus. And these are all groups of nations that have gathered there. And then we do a prophetic march. Right from that park, we march about a mile and a half downtown Jerusalem. And the Israelis are lined up on the right of the street, and they're lined up in the left, and we're marching all the way from the park to King David's Hotel. And they're yelling out to us, Aksamea, Aksamea, happy feast, happy feast. And the little kids are running up to us as we're marching, and we're giving them little American flags because we're part of the U.S. group, so we're giving them flags and candy. And one of the times that we were there, my goodness, it was called the Enfatada. That's when they had suicide bombers and they were blowing themselves up in the cities. No one knew where they were going to blow somebody up. And so there was very little tourism. And there was one year that only our church, Mission Valley Christian Fellowship, that I attended, there was 95 of us, and we were the only church out of the whole world to be there. Only church. We would go to hotels and we would go to restaurants and they would cry when we would walk in. We would cry because no one would go. They were too afraid to come. But Pastor Leo said, we're going to go. And let me tell you, I'm glad we went. God showed us some great and mighty things. There was two buses that held all 95 of us. And we were driving around Bethlehem. There was a mountain at Bethlehem. And Ido, our tour guide, got out and said, hold on, let me get out. I'm going to walk around this mountainside and I'm going to talk to the general. There was a whole bunch of army brigades down there with their tanks. And they were down there because the Church of Nativity in Bethlehem was under siege. The Palestinians took hostages in that church. It was news worldwide. And so we were allowed to get off our buses, all 95 of us. And we went down there and we started praying for all the soldiers. And I'll never forget, they allowed us to look to go inside their tanks. Never been in a tank before. They allowed us to tour their tanks. And so then when our time with them was over, Pastor Leo said, let us pray for you. And so we made a giant circle around them. And Pastor Leo was praying, and fight like David. And man, I'm telling you, we were praying for them. And then we saw them get into their tanks. And we actually saw them travel all the way up to the Church of Nativity. And guess what? Not one of them got shot. And they went in there, got the hostages. And the general today, till this day, says, I'll never forget the 95 angels that came to pray for us. And so, this feast up here, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Weeks, and Unleavened Bread, those were mandatory that men would come up and bring their first fruits. And now, all of them go on those three. All of them do. And the Feast of Tabernacles, you can't even get down to the Wailing Wall. It's impossible. There's thousands of people down there. And everyone's there to celebrate the feast. But it was a prophetic march as we were marching. Because the Bible says when Jesus comes back to the earth, he's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem. And we're going to march to the temple up to worship him. So we looked at it as a prophetic march. And we were thankful to be part of that. And so these three feasts were centered around harvest and rain seasons. Harvest and rain seasons. I want you to remember the rain seasons and harvest. Like harvesting grapes, harvesting crops. Harvest. H-A-R-V-E-S-T. Let's look at James 5 and 7 here. Look at this. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. What God is saying here in the book of James is Jesus is coming. But be patient. And what are we seeing right now? We're seeing the latter rain. We're seeing the Spirit of God being poured out. We're watching universities across the nation. People are getting saved left and right. Hallelujah. At Ohio State University, 2,500 got saved the other day. There's an outpouring right now. Ever since Charlie Kirk got assassinated, God is pouring out his spirit. I spoke to Bishop Trout. He's going to come and speak for us next month.
Amen.
And he said, he lives right across from Cardinal Stadium. He lives right there where the stadium is. He goes, there was so many people. It was standing room only when they celebrated the life of Charlie Kirk. And Bishop told me that he went to a couple of his rallies and said, man, he goes, it was phenomenal. He goes, the intelligence that this guy had. And all he did was defend the truth. He didn't spin no lies. This is Bishop. And I was going, man. He goes, now Bishop's number one team is the Ohio State Buckeyes because he's from Ohio. Bishop's from Ohio, right? So I called him yesterday because I told him I'm on the bandwagon now because of the quarterback. He's from Carlsbad. Julian saying he's on the team. I go, Bishop, we got something in common. I go, I just jumped on your bandwagon. And so we just started talking, and one thing led to another. And we told him how we miss him and that he'll be here next month. And he goes, have you found another building? I go, you know what? The three buildings that we've had, they found us. We weren't looking for them. So we'll wait on the Lord. God will if he opens up a door, it's because God will open it to us. Because if you go and try to open up a door, you're trying to open it now. I'm waiting on God. God always never fails. How many believe that he never fails? Thank you, God. And so what's the latter rain? The latter rain is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Look at this in Joel. In Joel 2:23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. The threshing floor shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil. Listen, they were in captivity for 2,500 years, and now they're back in the land. You know why they're back in the land? Because they are a witness to who God is. The Jews are a witness in the world to who Jesus is, who God is. They haven't lost their culture. They haven't lost their language. They haven't lost their heritage. They haven't lost their scriptures. Only nation in the entire history of the world that was scattered and God brought them back like he said he was going to. If you want to see the greatest miracle, that's a miracle.
Yes.
Is Israel back in the land. And now he's bringing them all home. Why is he bringing them all home? Why is God allowing anti-Semitism to be around the world right now? You know why? Because some are going to run away from it and come home. And then there's some where he has to scoot them out of those places to go home. But why? Why are they coming all back to Jerusalem? Because Jesus wants them there when he appears. And they will see the nail-scarred hand and the side that was pierced. He wants them all there to let them know, I'm the Messiah that you guys have been wanting to see. Jesus. And so the focus this morning will be on the wheat harvest. And there are four specific words to examine. These are the words reaping, threshing, tribulation, and sieving. I want you to remember those words. Reaping, threshing, tribulation, and sieving. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 13, 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Did you catch that? When there's a separation, the angels are going to separate for God. Look at verse 40. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend. Those who practice lawlessness will be cast into the furnace of fire. There'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun of in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Turn to your neighbor. God has appointed you righteous.
God has appointed you righteous. God has appointed you righteous.
Because only the righteous are going to be with him. Can I get amen?
Amen?
The unrighteous will go into the furnace. Can I get amen?
Amen?
So let's look at this. The seed has to be planted to be matured. A seed has to go into the ground. Look at Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So the word must go out. The word must be preached around the whole world. And because of our technology today, the whole world has heard the gospel now. Every place has heard the gospel. Thank you, God. Just about every nation has a cell phone now. And so, let's look at number two. The reaping is centered around rain cycles. And so, we just read this scripture. Let's read it again in James 5:7. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter what? Rain. Number three, threshing is the most important part of the harvest. Threshing. What is threshing? Let's look at Leviticus 26 here. Then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall fill their fruit. Your threshing shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. So, how can we make this personal application? What we just read. Well, let's look at reap. Jesus came to reap. Jesus came to reap. Did you know that? When he died and rose again, he sent the Holy Spirit to reap now. Look at this in Matthew 3:1-12. Let's look at this. In the days of John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path what? Straight. Look at verse 4. And John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, blood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So, not only did Jesus had an issue with the Sadducees and Pharisees, so did John the Baptist. Why? Because they stood for righteousness. They stood for truth. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Look at verse 8. Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. What he was saying is these Pharisees and Sadducees that had the word of God, it was idle to them. They never shared it with no one. They hid the word. They kept it from the people. And so they're gonna meet a harsh reality when Jesus comes reaping. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes, would you? Not a Sadducee. Look at verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water until repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Here we go. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Notice how he uses the same terminology of the harvest festivals. It's all about separating. When Jesus comes, he's going to have the angels separate the ungodly from the godly. Jesus, help us. Help us stay right before you. Help us, God. Help us always be purified in our heart. And when we sin, we confess it. We don't lay in it. We don't walk. We don't stay in it. Can I get amen?
Amen.
None of us are perfect. None of us will ever be perfect. But don't stay in your sin.
That's right.
Confess it and move on. Can I get amen?
Amen.
So look at this, saints. For the past 2,000 years, Jesus has been reaping the fields on earth and gathering the wheat, separating the tares that will be eventually thrown into the fire. Therefore, we must be a what? There must be a separation. Let's read the parable. Let's read the parable to get a further understanding. Turn with me to Matthew 13. We'll start with verse 24. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Uh-oh. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? That's a good question. Because when a tare and a wheat is growing together, they look the same until they get fully matured. When they get fully matured, the real wheat, it bends because of the weight. And a tare is fully erected up. So what does that look like? Humility and pride. A tare is prideful. It will not bend to God. But a wheat full of maturity. Yes, Lord. My servant will serve you, God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Look at verse 28. And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. You know what that picture is? That's us being separated and taken into the Lord's pavilion up in heaven.
Amen.
His barn. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
God. Woo. You know what? God knows what he's doing.
That's right.
Did you know that God's in total control? Did you know that the day you were conceived in your mother's womb, He already knew you? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He already knows your plan. Yeah, we may make plans, but He's the ultimate planner. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Look at what it says. Paul wrote this in Corinthians. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. Let me just say this. If you're involved in wickedness, separate yourself from it. If you're involved in worldliness, that's profane, that speaks profanity, that causes you to be profane, separate yourself from it. Can I get amen? Amen. I'm trying to help us. Yes. Never will I ever condemn you. I'm trying to help us. Can I get amen? Amen. Because I'm telling you what God's going to do here. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail this morning. Jesus, help us. Help us walk right, uprightly. I like to say it like this. Though we may be small in here, but I'm saying we're powerful. Because we got the word of God. Can I get amen? We got the anointing of God. We got the Holy Spirit of God. We got the presence of God in this place. That's all that counts. That's all that matters. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Look at this. Jesus sanctifies His people by threshing. A threshing must take place. Saints, when His chosen are separated, He places them on His threshing floor and allows the tribulum to remove the chaff from the wheat. This is where it hurts sometimes. When He's ripping stuff away from us. When He's got to get that junk out of us. Woo, yes. When He, you know what I love about God? He don't need to put a bar of soap in your mouth. He'll take it out of your heart. Because that's where it's coming from. It ain't coming from your mouth. It's coming from your heart. Once again, that's the tribulum. That's what they lay on the wheat, and then they drag it. And there's the wheat's going through tribulation. All the chaff is being ripped from it. That's why it's called the tribulum. Wow. And there again, there it is. They throw it on the floor and they go over it. And then they take the forks and throw it in the air. And so once they go over that process, then they throw it in the air, and then the chaff is blown away. And then all that falls to the ground is the wheat. Thank you, God. Woo, Jesus. Woo, man. That's right. That's right. Who's going to make that Lolita run in a minute? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. Look at this. And 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Almost coming in for a close here. Look at this. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Before I go any further, this is Paul the Apostle testifying on what he went through, that God allowed him to go through, and God allowed him to survive. But he was like on that floor with the tribulum on him, separating all kinds of stuff from him. You got to remember who he was. He was a persecutor of the church. He was the original drive-by. He would go raid Christian homes, and then he would gather them. He would burn them up. He would bring them into the arenas where the gladiators were and throw them to the lions, Christians alive, Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus at the time, until God radically grabbed his heart and changed him. He removed him from the world. He took that junk out of him. And so now God allowed him to go through all kinds of trials. Why? To refine him. Sometimes when God wants to use you, he's got to do things that you don't like sometimes. Some things are painful sometimes. Ask our dear brother before football season started. They had to do what? 2 days of Hell Week. Bear crawls. Sprints. Stairs. Man, I'm telling you, some of you were like this, trying to get air. I'll walk up a few steps and I'm grabbing for air. But you had to go through in order to be 6-0.
That's right. That's right.
You got 6-0 by going through something. Yes. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Jesus. Well, many of us have to go through to be used by God. No differently. So this is Paul the apostle. Now he's an apostle, and he's testifying on what he had to go through.
Yes.
So let's look at this. He says, in labors more abundant and stripes above measure. Stripes were beatings that he had to take. In prisons more frequently, and death often. Look at this. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. They beat him 40 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods, steel rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Look at this. And journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen. His own countrymen came on him. In perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, people that will talk about you and slander your name for no good reason, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things that comes upon me daily. This is all happened just one time. Daily. But look at this. But my deep concern is for all the churches. Did you notice? He put us in front of that. He goes, I'm going through this for you. He saw that 2,000 years later, we'd be reading about what he had to go through to build us up, to prepare us what we would go through. When people go through types of tribulation, saints, in your life, in my life, God allows certain things to happen to be removed from you. God saves us, He starts to remove bondages that held us captive most of our lives. Just pause for a moment right now. You don't have to say anything out loud. But just think of 2 things that come to your mind. What God delivered you from. 2 things. 2 things. For me, there was 100 things. But the 2 that I could think of, for me, and I'm not ashamed to tell people what he delivered me from, was the moment I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I couldn't curse no more.
Hallelujah.
I couldn't swear no more. That F-bomb, D-bomb, whatever bomb, it was like he erased it from my soul.
Yeah.
It's gone. literally gone. He delivered me. Thank you, God. And he took what was so precious, one of the most precious things to me, was my music. I had over 500 albums and DVDs. Majority of them were R&B, funk, and jazz. Me and Brother Lafayette were driving home. I said, check out this song that we grew up with. G introduced it to us, and we wore it out. God delivered us from all that. He delivered me. What's he working on you? Is he still working on you? Oh, he's still working on me. He's still working on me. There's things that still he's working on me. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, none of us have arrived anywhere. Put it this way. We all should wear a hat that says work in progress. I'm a work in progress. Can I get amen? Under construction. Thank you, God. Jesus. Thank you, God. Look at John. We got three verses and we'll close. Look at John 16:32. Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's some of us here right now is going through something big time. Big time. But I'm here to let you know I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Can I get amen? Jesus. I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I don't care what psychologist, what doctor, I don't care what YouTube video told you had or what's going on with you. Until Jesus is done with you, you're a work in progress. He's working on you. Thank you, God. And he's working overtime with me. With me, it's overtime. But he never slumbers or sleeps, so thank you, God. But look what Hebrews says. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which is so easily ensnares us. What ensnares you? What draws you to sin? What is the one thing that will take you into sin? Your thoughts, your heart. What could it be? In our men's ministry, we talked about it. But one of the things that captivates men, and it also captivates women, is pornography. You have to say, God, cleanse my heart. Yeah. Rip that from the core. You know why? Because that will get you in a whole lot of trouble down the road. Rip it out. Rip it out of your heart. Say, God, get this out. If you're married, your wife is sufficient. If you're single, wait on the Lord. For you single sisters, Jesus is your husband.
That's right.
And for you single brothers, Jesus is your brother.
Is your husband too.
Like, and also your husband too.
The Bible says he's your husband.
Yeah. Yes. He will be your all in all. Wait on him. Can I get a wait on him?
Amen.
Let us lay aside every weight and sin, which is so easily that ensnares us. It'll capture us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And look at this. This, I close with this. Then God sees us for his glorification. For glorification. And it's found in the book of Romans. Romans 8:29. Look at this. For whom he foreknew. Turn to your neighbor and say, he foreknew you. Foreknew you. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. So this is what God is doing right now in our lives. Every day he's working on us that we would hopefully transform and be more like Jesus. Can I get an amen? And we will be 100% when we get that new body. When he takes this old flesh away, and we will truly have the incredible mind of Christ. Look at this. Predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these also called. Turn to your neighbor again and say, he's called you.
He's called you.
Hallelujah. Well, look at this. Look at this. Whom he called, he also justified. You know what that means? He looks at you just as if you never sinned. Oh, thank you. That's what justification means. When you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and he washes you in the blood and fills you with the Spirit of promise, you become a child of God and you are now justified before him. We could stand before a holy God. And guess what? He doesn't look at our sin no more. But he sees the blood. Hallelujah. Yeah. He sees the blood. Come on. He sees the blood. Thank you. Jesus. Thank you, God. He sees the blood. Nothing but the blood. Thank you, God. Look at this. In whom he called, these also he justified. In whom he justified, he also what? Glorified. You know what glorified means? He sees you in your glorified bodies. I don't know what yours looks like. I don't even know what mine looks like. But I know one thing is going to be good. It's going to be a wonderful body. Yeah, I asked God, will mine have hair on it? All I know, the new body he's given us shall never die.
Amen.
Shall never perish. Thank you, God. Are we so blessed? Are we so blessed to know what God is doing? Thank you, Jesus. Saints, how many of you right now can honestly say that God has done wonderful things in your life?
Amen.
He's done some beautiful and wonderful things. Don't give up when you're going through. Don't give up when trials come your way. Let me just say this. When you go through a serious trial, this is when you really need to worship him. This is where you need to praise him. Why? Do we just praise him when we're on the mountain? We got to learn how to praise him in the valley. We got to praise him in the valley. Amen. And if you're watching right now on Facebook and YouTube, maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to extend an invitation to you to receive the Lord Jesus by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me, to pray for you, that you too may be born again with the Spirit of the living God, the hope and the promise that God gives to every one of his children that would come to him by faith. And that's it. Come as you are. Maybe someone told you, when I get right, I'll come. No, God said, come as you are. And watch him do the miracle in your life. And so say this prayer by faith. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, is he worthy? Oh, hallelujah, he's worthy.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. We give you the